As we have seen, the Grand Rapids of 1916 was a lively and thriving place, lots of activity, lots of things going on. And certainly the town's reputation as a merchandising center for north central Minnesota was continuing full force. The place to go if you wanted to buy something in that area was Grand Rapids. Let's wander about the town a bit and see exactly what is there and what's available. What would particularly strike one would be the King Lumber Company. Space-wise, that was the largest of the shopping centers in Grand Rapids, and kind of an interesting background to this. As we know, the great white pine forests are gone, but many trees were left behind, many other kinds of wood, and so there still is opportunity for logging in Itasca County. But now that wood is designated for local use rather than being sent down the river to sawmills far to the south. And the King Lumber Company was one of the largest users of that remaining wood. The Herald Review points out that the trade of the King Lumber Company has been built upon honor, best quality material, and no juggling with prices or quality. And that, combined with excellent service, has proven to be a trade builder and is why the business has steadily grown. A number of other lumber yards have gone out of business, but the King continues very strongly. What they specialized in then was turning those trees into the wood that was needed by the growing population of Itasca County for homes and farms and businesses. There was certainly a good market. The Kings who ran the lumber yard were very prominent Grand Rapids citizens, held all kinds of offices in town, and gave much of their energy to things that were needed for Grand Rapids. The King Lumber Company for a long time was one of the dominant businesses in Grand Rapids. What the Herald Review referred to as the splendid Duffy Restaurant was also an enterprising place. The interior of the building was thoroughly remodeled. It was up to date. The dining room was cheerful and well-lighted, has a lunch counter on one side. The furnishings are all new and with a splendid, the word used again, bill of fare and table service. It's a drawing card to Grand Rapids people and tourists alike. And interestingly, the proprietor of that, Mr. Duffy, was for some time the resident manager of the school farm. And after that, he was foreman of the North Central Experiment Station work crew. So a responsible position that he had. Wish we had a menu from that place. Wonder if he made any use of the local produce, which he knew so well. H.D. Powers Hardware. We've run into this place before because that goes back to 1890, when the Powers brothers arrived in Grand Rapids by steamboat with their stock of hardware. But they progressively had newer places and larger places, and by 1916 they had a very substantial brick store downtown, had two warehouses to hold their extensive stock, and they carried heavy stuff like iron and steel, stoves, tinware, wagons, sleighs, but also paints, oils, glass, agricultural implements, bicycles, guns, cutlery, fishing tackle, and other goods. So a wide diversity of goods that were available there. And many made Powers Hardware the place for that kind of goods. The First National Bank building is a handsome building, two stories and spacious, and it is the largest bank in Itasca County, largest in terms of space and also in terms of the size of its holdings and of its deposits and so on. Very familiar name in Grand Rapids, Cramer. Cramer's was there until just recent decades as one of the major stores in Grand Rapids. George F. Cramer located there in 1895, and he established a furniture and undertaking trade. Those two went together for some reason very commonly. But his was the only one in Grand Rapids, and thus he was providing those two services once again to a wide area. And Cramer was another who was very involved in town affairs. He served as a member of the council, and twice he was mayor. C.C. Peterson purchased the Itasca Mercantile Company's business. And we mentioned that Itasca Mercantile before. That was the big dry goods store in Grand Rapids, way back into the early days of the town and the early days of establishing that merchandising appeal. Now it has been renamed the Itasca Dry Goods Company, which is going to last for many, many decades. The old stock was disposed of and replaced with new stuff covering everything in dry goods and women's wearing apparel, making it the largest dry goods store between Duluth and Crookston. And it was noted as a modern trading center following up-to-date merchandising practices. C.C. Peterson is an interesting figure. He was very well known in the area, and his column that was printed in the Herald Review for a long time, Peterson says, was widely read. It was a mixture of common sense and humor and whatever was on his mind at the time. He incidentally also wrote the poem which frequently accompanied the picture Grace when it was sold out of the Enstrom studio. The annual sales of the Itasca Dry Goods Company were very high. What Peterson depended upon was lots of sales rather than the individual sales that many of the smaller merchants depended upon. And this always was a busy place. There were 10 sales clerks employed there to wait on the constant stream of customers. So good success there. Peterson was also noted as one who was widely in demand as a speaker on business topics. Herald Review lists some of the places where he'd recently been in 1916, and they included the Business Builders Conference in Chicago, the Merchant Short Course in Minneapolis, the University of Minnesota, Retail State Convention at Watertown, South Dakota, another one in St. Paul, and so on. So, yeah, he was widely in demand. Herald Review noted he was a recognition not only for himself, but also for Grand Rapids. One of the outstanding, prosperous industrial shops is that of the Grand Rapids Machine and Saw Shop. This industrial plant is equipped with the latest in machinery for repair work in iron and steel, covering all classes of machinery. None but expert mechanics are employed. That's kind of interesting. So some really heavy-duty stuff also available in Grand Rapids. The Herald Review notes, among the now charmed circle of Grand Rapids' early pioneers, none stands out more prominently than Henry Hughes, who had located here in 1892, and he is now in the general store business after moving like the others several times and getting ever larger. He has one of these solid two-story brick buildings in Grand Rapids, full basement to cover his stock, so lots available there too. Benjamin J. Lieberman came to Grand Rapids in 1900, and he entered the clothing and men's furnishing business in a small way at first, but he too has been steadily expanding. And now, interesting, you want the very latest in men's fashions and in men's suits and so on? Why, the place to go is Lieberman's. And once again, he too has built up customers over a wide trade area. Now, here's an interesting one. The next time you're in downtown Grand Rapids, whether you live in the town or whether you're just passing through, take a good look at the brick buildings which stand right across Pokegama Avenue from the old Pokegama Hotel building. And if you look up at the top, you'll see in prominent letters the McAlpin Block. Herein lies a good Grand Rapids story that takes us all the way back to the very early days of the town. Remember that as Grand Rapids was beginning, those were the days of those first lumberjacks who were noted as the toughest and the strongest, living under very primitive conditions, but boy, did they know how to cut down those trees and get them out and floating down the river. And one of those people who was doing that among those very early lumberjacks was Mike McAlpin. He grew up in Canada. He grew up in a family that certainly lived under very modest circumstances, but the parents provided a very strong work ethic to their children, and certainly so to Mike. He knew woodcutting thoroughly, and on his arrival in the United States, he easily obtained a job in one of the Grand Rapids vicinity lumber camps. He was very able to keep up with those other tough people and could hold his own throughout all of it and certainly fit in with them very well. But he was a keen observer. And as he looked and watched at what was happening with his fellow jacks, he was not impressed. The typical pattern for most all of them was to get their check, go to Grand Rapids, sometimes pay a pretty hefty fee to immediately get cash for it, and then head for the nearest saloon and there drink and carouse until the money was gone, and he would wander back to the camp totally penniless. And McAlpin decided that wasn't going to be him. And he started saving his money very carefully. And over the next decades, he did that. And when the lumbering finally was coming to an end, he had a pretty sizable amount of money. He used some of it to build one of the nicest houses in Grand Rapids. And then he began investing in business opportunities. It was he who was behind the Ogama Hotel on Lake Pokegama, that very successful place. But the biggest investment that he did was in those buildings that still stand and are still in use. As he completed them, he rented part to what was called the Central Drugstore. There was the European Hotel house there, dozen office rooms on the second floor, and back to Lieberman, he was quick to move his men's clothing store there. Had much classier digs there to arrange his goods in. So yeah, the McAlpin block was another major attraction in Grand Rapids. So there's lots of stuff in Grand Rapids indeed. Merchandising center it is. Next time we'll look at some more.